Hey family, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we get into God's Word. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 3 through 8. Just want to say thank you to all of you who came out to the prayer meeting on Wednesday. I think it was a record for us. We had 17 people, and just a sweet encouragement for us to keep pressing on, to keep seeking the Lord together. We looked at this message last week called Our Model for Mission. And at the end of that section, Jesus says that we're to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. And we were able to do that on Wednesday. And I just want to encourage us to keep coming out. We'd love to have you if you haven't come. You are more than welcome to join us. We're getting to see God move and answer prayers, and it's getting exciting, man. I don't know about you guys, but it's cool to see from week to week what God is doing and the prayers that he's answering and the breakthroughs that he's giving. It's almost something that we're like expecting because we're just seeing him move in these different ways. And so I would just encourage you to come out. We'd love to have you. We get to talk and just hear how each other are doing as well and just get some time to connect. But anyways, let's turn to Romans 12. We will be in verse 3 through 8. Like I said, last week we looked at our model for mission. This week I want to look at our motivation for ministry. Our motivation for ministry. And I want us to be thinking as fall is coming up. I know the summer has kind of, it's dragged on for some of you. For some of you, it's flown by. It's kind of just like a big blur, to be honest. It's a summer to remember, or maybe a summer to forget. But in any case, we are looking at the fall, and we want to think about what is it that God has for us as a church? What are the ministries that God is wanting us to be involved in? How does he want to shape the ministries that we currently are a part of? And so I just want us to be thinking about that and praying through that as individuals. If there's something that's on your heart, maybe you have a heart for children or the youth or college students or leading a group, a small group. Maybe you have a heart for musical worship, or there's just a need in the community that you would like to see. Man, I just really have a heart to meet that need or to kind of get a ministry going to help meet this need in the community. There are a variety of different things on the radar, but we want to really start honing in on what is it that God is putting on our hearts individually, and we want to start praying through those things together as a group. And I think it's just important for us to realize that if you are a believer in Christ, which I think most of you are, if you've trusted Christ for salvation, if you put your faith in him and what he's done for you on the cross and his resurrection, you're born again. And the Bible is clear that if you have the Spirit of God in you, there is a ministry for you. That every single person who is a believer is called to serve in some shape or form. There are no spectator Christians, right? Like, I picture it like a basketball game, right? Like, I'm watching basketball right now. It's about to get exciting. Playoffs are here. I think many of us kind of enjoy being in the stands sometimes watching the game, but I think what Christianity is saying is that, hey, every single person is a player. Every single person has a role to play on the team. There's no bench warmers. Everybody's getting minutes. And so I think for us, we have to really think through what is the ministry that God's calling me to? What is he putting on my heart? You might not have all the answers, but I think that question for us asking ourselves, is that even on my radar? Or am I coming to church or am I coming to Sundays with this mindset of what can I get? What can the church do for me? Rather than what can I bring? How can I be a blessing to the church and the community? I want us to start thinking in this way because I think as we align ourselves with God's mission in the world, we're going to live lives that glorify him. We're not going to live these boring lives. Some of us are kind of bored right now, and I think it's because we're not really tapping into the mission of God in our lives. We're settling for lesser things. We're settling for entertainment. We just want to get pleasure from different things. And I think God is really wanting to stir up our hearts' affections for His kingdom and for His glory. And so as we look at this text, let's be praying that God would be laying things on our hearts. If you want to talk about different ministry opportunities or ways that you can be involved in the church, we'd love to have those conversations with you. And so we'd encourage you to reach out to us and we can talk about those things. Let's read Romans chapter 12, and we'll be in verses 3 through 8. And then we'll pray. Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless your word. God, as we look into it, as we study, as we hear it, God, I pray that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but that you would give us hearts that are ready to receive it, that you would instruct us, God, and that the Holy Spirit would move us and to really participate in the life of God, in the mission of God. And so we pray that you would shape us, Lord, that you would begin to lay things on our hearts, God, as we approach fall. I know it's been a strange season, but I know that you're moving, God. You're not limited by COVID. You're always moving. You're always working, Lord, even when we can't see it, even when we don't feel you, even when we're apathetic, God, you are on the move. You are not limited by us. And so I pray that you would give us excitement, Lord, give us passion for your name, that we would live these lives, Lord, for your glory, that we would make our lives count, that we wouldn't waste them, Lord. And so help us, God. Teach us, lead us in your paths, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've heard that word ministry a lot. If you've been in church for any amount of time, and even if you haven't, you've heard that word thrown around, ministry. We kind of associate that probably, most of us, with people who are maybe pastors or teachers or in some official church role in the church. And I think that's kind of usual for us. We kind of think, okay, there are people who are paid to do the ministry, and we'll kind of come to church and we'll receive. And yeah, we might have some involvement, but primarily, it's the leadership's role to be doing the ministry. And that word ministry simply means service. Okay? And what we see from Scripture is that every single believer, whether you are a pastor or in leadership or not, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, you have been gifted with a ministry. You have been gifted with gifts by the Holy Spirit to use in the building up of the church and for the glory of God. And it's very easy for us to come as merely as spectators to church, and especially in times like this, right? I mean, we're meeting online. There is not a lot of ministry happening at the church building. And so it's kind of, it looks different than it has in various seasons. But I think it's important for us to begin to think about, okay, what does it look like for me in this season? And as we look at the fall, what does it look like for us to really have this heart and really seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be used by you in this community, in this church. We want to be used by you for your kingdom. What would that look like? And that's what I kind of want to look at this morning as we look at this text. Look at verse 3 with me. Paul starts off here. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." It's interesting here. Before Paul starts speaking about using your gifts and getting into ministry, he basically says that God cares more about the condition of your heart than your activity in ministry. Hear that. God cares more about the condition of your heart than your activity in ministry. I think it's very easy for us to focus, you know, in the church on just getting stuff done, doing things, doing ministry. But what we see here is that God cares about the condition of our hearts. To say it another way, God cares more about who we are than what we do. See, we stress a lot of times the activity, what we do. We got to be busy. We got to do ministry. We got to, you know, do the youth, do the children's, all these different things, and we neglect the heart. And what happens when we do that is we become burned out, disillusioned. You get frustrated because you're like, man, these kids aren't getting it. Like, this is crazy. Like, I'm doing ministry, but nothing's really happening. We begin to lose heart when we don't focus on the heart. When we neglect the heart and we just focus all of our attention on being busy in ministry, we begin to lose steam. And Paul does not want that for us. The Holy Spirit does not want that for us. He wants better things for us. And so he says it really begins with our heart. We need to examine ourselves and see where we're at with God. It's possible to quote unquote serve God and yet really be serving ourselves. How many of us are guilty of this? I know I am. There's times where we think we're serving God, but really we end up serving ourselves because we're doing it with our own strength, our own ability. We're not depending upon the Spirit, and we're just trying to get it done. Right? And I think our culture teaches, hey, be efficient, get stuff done, like have your list, go through it, tackle these things. And I think Christianity, it's different because what God is saying is he's looking for people who are dependent upon him. It's not just about getting the work done. It's about having the right heart. It's about seeing ourselves accurately. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And so it's like, how do we battle that? And how do we get through that? How do we not fall into pride and really depend upon the Lord? And I think we only see ourselves accurately when we see who God is accurately. Right? Like, if we want a right view of ourselves, we've got to have a right view of God. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. He says this. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, right? Right thoughts about God help shape how we view life, how we view others and ourselves. And so this is really the most important thing about us. Everybody has thoughts about God. There's good thoughts and there's bad thoughts. There's good theology and there's bad theology. We really want to have a theology that's shaped by the Word of God, because that's going to help us as we go into ministry. It's going to help align our hearts with God's heart. And so Paul says, hey, see yourself accurately. Don't allow room for pride to fester. Don't think that you doing a certain ministry is just there to make you look good, or that ministry is about you. It's not about you. It's really about Jesus. I love the example of John the Baptist in Scripture. He was one who Jesus said he was the greatest prophet who ever lived. And this was a guy who was humble. He was a little weird, I will say that. He ate locusts and honey, and he's out there in the wilderness, kind of just like this wild man. He's preaching to the people, repent, right? He's preparing the way of the Lord. He's getting people ready for Jesus. And when people come to him, they're asking him, hey, are you the Messiah? Who are you? Are you somebody special? And he just says, you know what? I am not the one you're looking for. I'm merely preparing the way for the Messiah. And I love how quick John is to point people to Jesus. I think that's a good model for us in ministry. We always want to recognize that it's all about Jesus, that we're merely here to point people to Jesus. John would say, I must decrease, he must increase. This is someone reflective of a heart that's been taken captive by the Lord, someone who understands their place in light of who God is. And I think the more we're in the Word, the more we're spending time with the Lord, the more we're able to walk in humility, the more we know our place. We don't beat ourselves up and we don't puff ourselves up. We have this right understanding of who we are. And ultimately, as it says there in verse 3, that God has given to each of us a measure of faith, that God has assigned us this measure of faith. And so even the faith to believe, the faith to exercise these gifts, doesn't come from us. It comes from God. The gifts come from God, and the faith to exercise these gifts comes from God as well. In verse 4 and 5, we see that when we're secure in the Lord, we're free to appreciate the gifts of others rather than comparing ourselves with others. Look at what it says in verse 4 and 5. It says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And so we see here, Paul's giving us this point of, hey, saying, man, when we're free, when we're secure in the Lord, we're free to appreciate the gifts of others rather than just comparing ourselves with others, right? And it's so easy to fall into this, you guys, in ministry, looking at other people's gifts and saying, man, I'm not gifted like they are. I wish I had that gift. I wish I could lead worship or teach or do this certain ministry. All I have are these hands that, you know, I just move chairs, I just set up, I just greet people, or whatever it is that you think is a lesser ministry. The Bible is very clear that God has given us each a certain capacity, certain giftings. And it's not like, you know, this gift is greater, or like, you know, you're less than because you can't, you know, teach or lead worship. It's really about what has God given you, and are you faithful with what God's given you? And if we're not being faithful with what God has given us, the opportunities that he's given us, why would God give us more? He says that if we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. But when we have our identity secure in the Lord and not in our ministry, not in our performance, our effectiveness, this really puts us in a place of safety. I'm now able to look at my brothers and sisters who are gifted, and instead of seeing them as a threat, I'm able to see them as a blessing. I'm able to appreciate the blessing that they are. And I think even when it comes to churches, you guys, we can fall into this. Very territorial, very like tribal, right? We're like, how could this person leave this church? Or how could this person leave that place, that ministry? And I think we really have to check our hearts and say, you know what? I want to be for my brothers and sisters. I want to be for people. Every single church that's preaching the gospel is on the same team. And I think we really have to latch hold of that and say, okay, this is about the kingdom of God. This isn't about Resound. It's not about other churches. It's really about God's kingdom as a whole. And wherever people are going to press in to God's kingdom, we want to be for that. We want to appreciate that. When we find our identity in the Lord and what he's done for us and not what we do for the Lord, we're able to rejoice in how God uses people. And that's what he says here. We're many parts. There's many members in a body, right? He gives this image of a body. Think about your own body. You have hands, you have feet, you have a head. All different parts, but one body. Every member of the body is critical. It's crucial. Every member is bringing something, right? If you try to drink coffee with your toes, you try to hold on to the mug, that's going to go bad, right? Like, unless you're very gifted. But there are certain functions that certain body parts perform. And I think we have to understand this as we are all members in the body of Christ. some people's gifts might be a little bit unusual. Some people's gifts, they might not really be that exciting. Some people's gifts might be very exciting, but it all depends on what God has given us and being faithful with that. Because God will reward us one day for our faithfulness. God's not looking for us to be someone else. He wants us to be ourselves, but he wants us to use the things that he's given us. Then in verse 6, I want to read verses 6 through 8. We see that we're called to use the gifts that God has given us for the good of others and for the glory of God. Look at verse 6. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And this is the big thing here. He's saying, okay, we've all received gifts. They're different. We're all different. But it's all about God's grace. He's given us a certain amount of gifts. You might have one, you might have multiple. And I think we don't want to drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out what are our spiritual gifts. I think, yeah, you can look into it, you can find those things out. But I really think that spiritual gifts, God's not just saying, hey, focus on what it is that you're gifted at. It's more like, be available for me to use, step into these spaces where you see needs, and God will show you what you're gifted in. Don't get hung up on like, oh, I can't serve God because I don't know what my gifts are. I really think God wants to help get us to a place of saying, no, I just want to serve the Lord. And as we serve and as we're available to be used by God, God leads us into the places that we're gifted. And right, we're called to do all these things. As he lists out these different things here, he says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We're called to do these things as a church. But there are going to be people who are especially gifted. It's really life-giving to do certain things in this list, right? Where some people are like, man, I would hate to be up in front of people and teach. That's not my thing, but I try to teach, you know, my kids, or I try to teach when I can to people one-on-one. There might be other people who say, man, I'm so bad. I'm not a handy person. That's me. But maybe more, and there's people that are more gifted to do those things, right? There's people that are more hands-on, more tech savvy. Some of you have been a huge blessing in that regard. Where I'm like, man, I can't even figure this thing out, like the smallest tech problem. But there are people in the body who are so gifted, and that's like, that's their lane, and they operate in that way. And so I think it's amazing to see all the different pieces in the body of Christ. As we start looking at fall, I want us to be thinking, God, what is it that you want me to be involved in? What is it that I could bring to the table that you've given me to use, to steward? And this is what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, that we're stewards of these gifts. And a steward is someone who doesn't own anything but is entrusted with something. Okay? And so we've all been entrusted with something. God's given it to us to steward. And so we have responsibility in the body of Christ to use the gifts that God's given us, to get involved, to not say, I'm not going to sit in the stands and just watch people play the game, but no, I want to get in the game and play and get in on the action. I think that's the encouragement for us from Scripture, is every single person who's listening here, if you're a believer, you have a role to play. Are you being active in exercising your gifts? Are you being active in being a blessing to the body? Is this on our radar? I think this is something that God is challenging us with right now. And I think as fall is coming, let's be prayerful. Let's be mindful. If you want to have a conversation, you want to talk about different areas where we can enter into ministry together, I think that's a great conversation to have. Some of the ways that I've gotten direction are through people giving me affirmation or speaking and saying, hey, I see you're gifted here. I think God wants to use you in this way. And I think hearing that has helped shape and helped me kind of go forward in my walk with Christ. And so let's do this for each other. Let's pray this way as we're seeking the Lord in this season. And let's remember the gospel, you guys, right? Like at the end of the day, it's all about what Jesus has done for us. any ministry that we offer Jesus, any way that we serve him, it's merely a response to what he's done for us. And I think we can never forget that. We can never lose sight of that. At the end of the day, when your head hits the pillow, you can rest saying, Jesus paid it all. He cried out on the cross, it's finished. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He came to seek and save. He served us. And he's asking us to partner with him in what he wants to do in our world. I pray that we would be a church who has this fire lit under us, this passion for the glory of God. If you're tired, if you're like, man, I've been serving for years and I've just been grinding it out and I've been happy to have a break. I think it's good that you've had a break. But I think that break can't be permanent. I think God's wanting to stir up in us this desire to say, you know what? I want to live for the glory of God. Ministry can be tiring. It is tiring. But God wants to fill us up with his strength. He wants to replenish us with his power. And Paul would say, man, I'm pouring myself out for you. But he's being filled up by God. And so I pray that we would know that in this time. Maybe your ministry is to your kids. Right now, maybe you're like, I'm not asking for this ministry. I'd rather have them go to school. But maybe you're with your kids a lot more. Maybe that's a good thing for you. Maybe that's tough for you. But I pray that God would strengthen you in the ministry that he's given you. Maybe you're just trying, I just want to be faithful at work, you know, doing my job. You're ministering as unto the Lord. You're not doing it for your boss. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Wherever God is leading you, whatever God's putting on your heart, I pray that we would do it for the glory of God. As 1 Peter 4:11 says, that God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ. That's our ultimate motivation for ministry, the glory of God, that people would see Jesus, that people look at our lives and they'd see something about Jesus and they'd be drawn to Jesus, and that we would use our gifts to strengthen people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time, God. We thank you just for who you are and that you did pay it all, Lord, that you gave everything for us on the cross. Lord, this love that we don't deserve, there's never been anyone that's loved us like you. And I pray you'd help us to see that, Lord. I pray if we've been looking for love and we've been looking for acceptance and identity in different places, and we feel frustrated or empty, God, I pray that you would show us that it's only found in you. I pray that you'd restore the joy of our salvation, God. If we've been serving for years and we're kind of losing steam, we're like, man, I don't want another sermon about serving. I just pray, God, that you would wash over us and you would lighten our load. We thank you that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, and you just say, hey, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I just pray that we would take your yoke upon us, Lord. We learn from you that you're gentle and lowly in heart and that we'd find rest for our souls, Lord. I pray you lead us as a church into this next season as we look at the fall, God, that you begin to fire us up to partner with you in what you want to do in ministering to each other, to our coworkers, the community, our family members. God, that you would just put this fire in our bones like Jeremiah. He says, I can't even hold it back. I have to speak. That we would be about your business, Lord. Give us grace for these things, God. We need your spirit to be moving in us. I pray your unity in us, Lord. I pray that we would remain united at this time, that we keep going forward in you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and just how they've navigated the season. I know it's not easy. And I just pray, Lord, for your grace to be upon us each day. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.